Today, on a special edition of Tristan Storytime, it's our episode of Threes. First up, Goldilocks visits the home of the three bears. Next, the three little pigs build houses, and the wolf comes to blow them down. But what will happen when the wolf attempts to devour the third little pig, especially when it comes to timeliness? Next, the three Billy Goats Gruff attempt to cross the bridge, but they must encounter a grumpy old troll along the way. Followed by the song, My Hat, It Has Three Corners. And finally, an old woodcarver and his wife earn three wishes. Will they be put to good use? These three stories are coming your way right now, so stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Tristan Storytime. I'm your host, Tristan Gardner, and I'm certainly glad you could join me today. We've got some great stories picked out, and I want to extend an invitation to use your imaginations as I read them. So without any further ado, let's get the show on the road. In other words, on with the stories! In Tristan Storytime's very first year, we read some classic fairy tales that you know and love, including this one. This one features a little girl whose curiosity got the best of her when she wandered through the forest and a family of three bears who live in the cottage inside that forest. We're going to revisit those characters in one of Mother's Nursery Tales, and this timeless story is called Goldilocks and the Three Bears, which is told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle. There was once a little girl whose hair was so bright and yellow that it glittered in the sun like spun gold. For this reason, she was called Goldilocks. One day, Goldilocks went out into the meadows to gather flowers. She wandered on and on, and after a while, she came to a forest where she had never been before. She went on into the forest, and it was very cool and shady. Presently, she came to a little house standing all alone in the forest, and as she was tired and thirsty, she knocked at the door. She hoped the good people inside would give her a drink and let her rest a little while. Now, though Goldilocks did not know it, this house belonged to three bears. There was a great big father bear, and a middling-sized mother bear, and a dear little baby bear, no bigger than Goldilocks herself. But the three bears had gone out to take a walk in the forest while their supper was cooling. So when Goldilocks knocked at the door, no one answered her. She waited a while, and then she knocked again. And as still nobody answered her, she pushed the door open and stepped inside. There, in a row, stood three chairs. One was a great big chair, and it belonged to the father bear. And one was a middling-sized chair, and it belonged to the mother bear. And one was a dear little chair, and it belonged to the baby bear. And on the table stood three bowls of smoking hot porridge.
And so, thought Goldilocks, the people must be coming back soon to eat it.
She thought she would sit down and rest until they came. So first she sat down in the great big chair, but the cushion was too soft. It seemed as though it would swallow her up. Then she sat down in the middle-sized chair, and the cushion was too hard, and it was not comfortable. Then she sat down in the dear little chair, and it was just right, and fitted her as though it had been made for her. So there she sat, and she rocked, and she rocked, and she sat, until with her rocking and her sitting, she sat the bottom right out of it. And still nobody had come, and there stood the bowls of porridge on the table.
They can't be very hungry people,
thought Goldilocks to herself,
or they would come home to eat their suppers.
And she went over to the table just to see whether the bowls were full. The first bowl was a great big bowl with a great big wooden spoon in it. And that was the father bear's bowl. The second bowl was a middle-sized bowl with a middle-sized wooden spoon in it. And that was the mother bear's bowl. And the third bowl was a dear little bowl with a dear little silver spoon in it. And that was the baby bear's bowl. The porridge that was in the bowls smelled so very good that Goldilocks thought she would just taste it. She took up the great big spoon and tasted the porridge in the great big bowl, but it was too hot. Then she took up the middle-sized spoon and tasted the porridge in the middle-sized bowl, and it was too cold. Then she took up the little silver spoon and tasted the porridge in the dear little bowl. And it was just right. And it tasted so good that she tasted and tasted and tasted and tasted until she tasted it all up. After that, she felt very sleepy. So she went upstairs and looked about her. And there were three beds all in a row. The first bed was the great big bed that belonged to the father bear. And the second bed was a middling-sized bed that belonged to the mother bear. And the third bed was a dear little bed that belonged to the dear little baby bear. Goldilocks lay down on the great big bed to try it, but the pillow was too high, and she wasn't comfortable at all. Then she lay down on the middle-sized bed, and the pillow was too low, and that wasn't comfortable either. Then she lay down on the little baby bear's bed, and it was exactly right, and so very comfortable that she lay there and lay there until she went fast asleep. Now, while Goldilocks was still asleep in the little bed, the three bears came home again, and as soon as they stepped inside the door and looked about them, they knew that somebody had been there.
"Somebody's been sitting in my chair," growled the father bear in his great big voice, "and left the cushion crooked."
"And somebody's been sitting in my chair," said the mother bear, "and left it standing crooked."
"And somebody's been sitting in my chair,"
squeaked the baby bear in his shrill little voice.
"And they sat and sat till they've sat the bottom out."
And he felt very sad about it. Then the three bears went over to the table to get their porridge.
"What's this?" growled the father bear in his great big voice. "Somebody's been tasting my porridge and left a spoon on the table."
"And somebody's been taking my porridge," said the mother bear in her middle-sized voice. "And they've splashed it over the side."
"And somebody's been tasting my porridge,"
squealed the baby bear.
"And they tasted and tasted until they tasted it all up."
And when he said so, the baby bear looked as if he were about to cry.
"If somebody's been here, they must be here still,"
said the mother bear. So the three bears went upstairs to look. First, the father bear looked at his bed.
"Somebody's been lying in my bed and pulled the covers down," he growled in his great big voice.
Then the mother bear looked at her bed.
"Somebody's been lying in my bed and pulled the pillow off," said she in her middle-sized voice.
Then the baby bear looked at his bed, and there lay little Goldilocks with her cheeks as pink as roses and her golden hair all spread over the pillow.
"Somebody's been lying in my bed,"
squealed the baby bear joyfully.
"And here she is still."
Now when Goldilocks in her dreams heard the great big father bear's voice, she dreamed it was the thunder rolling through the heavens. And when she heard the mother bear's middle-sized voice, she dreamed it was the wind blowing through the trees. But when she heard the baby bear's voice, it was so shrill and sharp that it woke her right up. She sat up in bed and there were the three bears standing around and looking at her.
"Oh my goodness me!"
cried Goldilocks. She tumbled out of bed and ran to the window. It was open, and out she jumped before the bears could stop her. Then home she ran as fast as she could, and she never went near the forest again. But the little baby bear cried and cried because he had wanted the pretty little girl to play with. Now here is that very important moral that I promised you, and that is to always consider how your actions might affect others. Stay tuned for more stories, folks, as Tristan's Storytime continues. The Three Little Pigs is another great story that comes in threes. You may recall that I also read this story in our very first year together. And in some early versions of this story, like this one, a wolf devours two of the pigs while the third pig outsmarts him and eventually eats him for his supper. And all three little pigs would be happy together had they worked hard to build strong houses like the third pig did. Let's revisit these three pigs and the wolf in the story of the Three Little Pigs, which is told and illustrated by Leonard Leslie Brook. Once upon a time, there was an old sow with three little pigs, and as she had not enough to keep them, she sent them out to seek their fortune. The first that went off met a man with a bundle of straw, and said to him,
"Please, man, give me that straw to build me a house."
Which the man did, and the little pig built a house with it. Presently came along a wolf and knocked at the door and said,
little pig, let me come in.
To which the pig answered,
no, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in,
said the wolf. So he huffed and he puffed and he blew his house in and ate up the little pig. The second pig met a man with a bundle of furs and said,
please, man, give me that furs to build a house.
Which the man did, and the pig built his house. Then along came the wolf and said,
little pig, let me come in.
No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in.
So he huffed and he puffed. And at last he blew the house down and ate up the second little pig. The third little pig met a man with a load of bricks and said,
please, man, give me those bricks to build a house with.
So the man gave him the bricks, and he built his house with them. So the wolf came, as he did to the other little pigs, and said,
little pig, let me come in.
No, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin.
Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Well, he huffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, and he puffed, and he puffed, and he huffed, but he could not get the house down. When he found that he could not, with all his huffing and puffing, blow the house down, he said,
little pig, I know where there is a nice field of turnips.
Where? Said the little pig.
Oh, in Mr. Smith's home field. And if you will be ready tomorrow morning, I will call for you, and we will go together and get some for dinner.
Very well, said the little pig. I will be ready. What time do you mean to go?
Oh, at 6 o'clock.
Well, the little pig got up at 5 and got the turnips and was home again before 6. When the wolf came, he said,
little pig, are you ready?
Ready, said the little pig. I have been and come back again and got a nice pot full for dinner.
The wolf felt very angry at this, but thought that he would be up to the little pig somehow or other. So he said,
little pig, I know where there is a nice apple tree.
Where? Said the pig.
Down at Merry Garden, replied the wolf. And if you will not deceive me, I will come for you at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and we will go together and get some apples.
Well, the little pig woke at 4 the next morning and bustled up and went for the apples, hoping to get back before the wolf came. But he had farther to go and had to climb the tree, so that just as he was coming down from it, he saw the wolf coming, which, as you may suppose, frightened him very much. When the wolf came up, he said,
little pig, what? Are you here before me? Are they nice apples?
Yes, very, said the little pig. I will throw you down one.
And he threw it so far that, while the wolf was gone to pick it up, the little pig jumped down and ran home. The next day, the wolf came again and said to the little pig,
little pig, there is a fair in the town this afternoon. Will you go?
Oh, yes, said the pig. I will go. What time shall you be ready?
At 3, said the wolf.
So the little pig went off before the time, as usual, and got to the fair, and bought a butter churn, and was on his way home with it when he saw the wolf coming. Then he could not tell what to do, so he got into the churn to hide, and in doing so turned it round, and it began to roll, and rolled down the hill with the pig inside it, which frightened the wolf so much that he ran home without going to the fair. He went to the little pig's house, and told him how frightened he had been by a great round thing which came down the hill past him. Then the little pig said,
ha! I frightened you, did I? I had been to the fair and bought a butter churn, and when I saw you, I got into it and rolled down the hill.
Then the wolf was very angry indeed, and declared he would eat up the little pig, and that he would get down the chimney after him. When the little pig saw what he was about, he hung on the pot full of water, and made up a blazing fire, and just as the wolf was coming down, took off the cover of the pot, and in fell the wolf.
And the little pig put on the cover again in an instant, boiled him up, and ate him for supper. And lived happily ever after. And the moral of this story is, hard work and dedication pay off. Or in more detailed terms, taking the time to perform a task the right way is prudent, and that shortcuts are a false economy. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. Earlier in the program, I mentioned that some tales come in threes. And this is another one of those examples. Let me tell you the story of the three Billy Goats Gruff, taken from the book called East of the Sun and West of the Moon, Old Tales from the North. Once upon a time, there were three billy goats who were to go up to the hillside to make themselves fat, and the name of all three was Gruff. On the way up was a bridge over a burn they had to cross, and under the bridge lived a great ugly troll, with eyes as big as saucers and a nose as long as a poker. So first of all came the youngest billy goat Gruff to cross the bridge. Trip, trap, trip, trap, went the bridge.
"Who's that tripping over my bridge?" roared the troll.
"Oh, it is only I, the tiniest billy goat Gruff, and I'm going up to the hillside to make myself fat," said the billy goat with such a small voice.
"Now I'm coming to gobble you up," said the troll.
"Oh no, pray don't take me. I'm too little that I am," said the billy goat. "Wait a bit till the second billy goat Gruff comes. He's much bigger."
"Well, be off with you," said the troll.
A little while after came the second billy goat Gruff to cross the bridge. Trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap, went the bridge.
"Who's that tripping over my bridge?" roared the troll.
"Oh, it's the second billy goat Gruff, and I'm going up to the hillside to make myself fat,"
said the billy goat, who hadn't such a small voice.
"Now I'm coming to gobble you up," said the troll.
"Oh no, don't take me. Wait till the big billy goat Gruff comes. He's much bigger."
"Very well. Be off with you," said the troll.
But just then, up came the big billy goat Gruff.
Trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap, went the bridge,
for the billy goat was so heavy that the bridge creaked and groaned under him.
"Who's that tramping over my bridge?" roared the troll.
"It's I, the big billy goat Gruff," said the billy goat,
who had an ugly, hoarse voice of his own.
"Now I'm coming to gobble you up," roared the troll.
"Well, come along. I've got two spears, and I'll poke your eyeballs out at your ears. I've got besides two curling stones, and I'll crush you to bits, body and bones."
That was what the big billy goat said. And so he flew at the troll and poked his eyes out with his horns and crushed him to bits, body and bones, and tossed him out into the burn. And after that, he went up to the hillside. There, the billy goats got so fat that they were scarcely able to walk home again. And if the fat hasn't fallen off them, why, they're still fat. And so, snip, snap, snout, this tale is told out. Yes, I knew I was forgetting something. The moral of the story. And the moral is, do not get too greedy. Have you ever heard of my hat having three corners? Well, maybe my hat doesn't have three corners. But we are going to be singing the song called, My Hat, It Has Three Corners. Here's how it works. For the word hat, you point to your head. For the word three, you hold up three fingers. And when I sing the word corners, bend your elbow and point to it. It looks hard, but it's easy. It's all in the motion. And as the song progresses, we're going to be taking out some words. I'll tell you which ones as we get to them. But right now, we are going to sing the song, My Hat, It Has Three Corners. It's a great song to act and sing along to. My hat, it has three corners. Three corners has my hat.
And had it not three corners, it would not be my hat. Now this time, leave out the word hat. My, it has three corners. Three corners has my. And had it not three corners, it would not be my. This time, leave out the words hat and three. My, it has corners. Corners has my. And had it not corners, it would not be my. This time, leave out the words hat, three, and corners. My, it has my, and had it not, it would not be my. Okay, let's put all the words in. My hat, it has three corners. Three corners has my hat. And had it not three corners, it would not be my hat. Don't go away. Tristan Storytime will continue. Have you ever wanted three wishes? What would you use them for? Well, the thing is that you should be careful for what you wish for, because you just might get it. That happened to a man and his wife. I'll show you in The Three Wishes, taken from Mother's Nursery Tales, told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle. Once upon a time, a poor man took his axe and went out into the forest to cut wood. He was a lazy fellow, so as soon as he was in the forest, he began to look about to see which tree would be the easiest to cut down. At last, he found one that was hollow inside, as he could tell by knocking upon it with his axe. "It ought not to take long to cut this down," he said to himself. He raised his axe and struck the tree such a blow that the splinters flew. At once, the bark opened, and a little old fairy with a long beard came running out of the tree.
"What do you mean by chopping into my house?"
he cried, and his eyes shone like red-hot sparks. He was so angry.
"I did not know it was your house," said the man. "Well, it is my house, and I'll thank you to let it alone," cried the fairy.
"Very well," said the man. "I'd just as leave a cut down some other tree. I'll chop down the one over yonder."
"That is well," said the fairy. "I see that you are an obliging fellow after all. I have it in my mind to reward you for sparing my house, so the next three wishes you and your wife make shall come true, whatever they are, and that is your reward."
Then the fairy went back into the tree again and pulled the bark together behind him. The man stood looking at the tree and scratching his head. "Now that is a curious thing," he said. Then he sat down and began to wonder what he should wish for. He thought and he thought, but he could decide on nothing. "I'll just go home and talk it over with my wife," he said. So he shouldered his axe and set off for home. As soon as he came in at the door, he began to bawl for his wife, and she came in a hurry, for she did not know what had happened to him. He told his story, and his wife listened.
"This is a fine thing to have happened to us," she said. "Now we must be very careful what we wish for."
They sat down, one on each side of the fire, to talk it over. They thought of ever so many things they would like to have. A bag of gold, and a coach and four, and a fine house to live in, and fine clothes to wear. But nothing seemed just the right thing to choose. They talked so long that they grew hungry.
"Well, here we sit," said the man, "and not a thing cooked for dinner. I wish we had one of those fine black puddings you used to make."
No sooner had he spoken than there was a great thumping and bumping in the chimney, and a great black pudding fell down on the hearth before him.
"What is this?"
cried the man, staring.
"Oh, you oaf! You stupid!"
shrieked his wife.
"It's the pudding you wished for! There's one of our wishes wasted! I wish the pudding were stuck on the end of your nose! It would serve you right!"
The moment she said this, the pudding flew up and stuck to the man's nose. And there it was, and he couldn't get it off.
The man pulled and tugged, and his wife pulled and tugged. But it was all of no use.
"Well, there's no help for it," said the husband. "We'll have to wish it off again."
His wife began to cry and bawl.
"No, no," she cried. "We only have one wish left, and we can't waste it that way. Let's wish ourselves the richest people in the world."
But to this the man would not agree. He wanted the putting off his nose whatever it cost. So at last, the wife was obliged to let him have his own way.
"I wish the putting was off my nose again," said the man.
And that was the third of their wishes. So all the good they had of the fairy's gift was a black pudding for dinner. But then it was the best black pudding they had ever eaten.
"And after all," said the man, "there's nothing much better in the world to wish for than a full stomach."
Of course, you should always be careful for what you wish for. But there's a moral to this story, and it's very important. And the analysis is found in the husband's words at the end of the fairy tale. One should wish for nothing and either be happy with one's lot or strive to improve it oneself. On the next episode of Tristan Storytime, a princess falls in love with a man named Silvio in The Princess and the Apple Tree. But the king turns Silvio into said tree. Then an ugly duckling gets picked on because he's so, well, ugly. Next, a jackdaw attempts to accomplish what a strong eagle can do in The Eagle and the Jackdaw, followed by the patriotic song, Yankee Doodle. And finally, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow takes us on a journey to meet the village blacksmith. Next time on Tristan Storytime. Well, that just about wraps things up for today, but before we go, I want to remind you of a few last-minute pieces of information that I think you should know. First of all, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, there are plenty more exciting episodes on any of the podcast platforms you chose today. Also, you can follow Tristan Storytime on any of the social media platforms where you'll find video clips of stories I read on past shows every Thursday at 4 p.m., and you can find it all on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. In addition, you can find Tristan Storytime on Discord. And as you've noticed, music and sound effects will be included with every story I read. Every day, we're always finding new ways for all of us to grow together. Oh, and one last thing. If you have a classic family-friendly story idea that you'd like me to read on a future show, such as a picture book story, fairy tale, a fable from Aesop, or a poem, just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com. That's Tristan Storytime, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And that's without the apostrophe. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again soon. So until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember to keep using your imaginations, because I use mine to help you use yours. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are Goldilocks and the Three Bears, taken from the book Mother's Nursery Tales, told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle, published in 1918 by E.P. Dutton and Company. The Story of the Three Little Pigs, taken from the Golden Goose Book by Leonard Leslie Brook, published by Frederick Warren and Company. The Three Billy Goats Gruff, taken from the book East of the Sun and West of the Moon, Old Tales from the North, illustrated by K. Nielsen. Published by George H. Doran Company. My Hat, It Has Three Corners. Originally composed in the early 1800s. Music arrangement by Tristan Gardner. The Three Wishes, taken from the book Mother's Nursery Tales, told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle. Published in 1918 by E.P. Dutton and Company.